David, thanks so much for speaking with us about the tour. By day six of the tour, you and the orchestra will have played in Brussels, Luxembourg, Paris, Düsseldorf, and in Hamburg for two performances at the new Elbe Philharmonie. And that sounds like a really intense schedule. How do you and the orchestra keep up the energy and the freshness in your playing and sound?
Well, there's a built-in adrenaline rush that goes along with playing on tour. That's one of the great perks of being a member of this great orchestra and to be a member of any of the great orchestras that get the privilege to travel internationally and play on the big concert stages, especially if it's London or Paris or this new hall in Hamburg. We might be tired during the day having just gotten off a plane and maybe had a late night before coming off stage, being in an airplane. But when it comes time for the concert, there's an incredible institutional pride and excitement that just, it happens year after year. It never, never wanes.
So you're like a visiting team going to play a championship.
Absolutely. I'm watching lots of sports playoff rounds these days and watched hockey and basketball and then a few months ago football and our beloved Eagles. And, you know, I feel like I can almost predict when the team is going to be extra jacked up, when they're going to be a little flat, when they're going to be a little tired. Oh, if they traveled three time zones. It's very much the same as what we experience. We're really very much like athletes.
You spoke about late nights. Do you enjoy some of the nightlife after concerts?
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the wonderful benefits of going on tour is that you don't have to feel guilty going out late at night and being away from your family. We're all together. You know, it just goes hand in hand with that adrenaline rush of the concerts. Afterwards, there's no way we can go back to our hotel room and just fall asleep. We're ready to celebrate. And so that's one of my great joys is I do extensive research in every city before we go. And I find a little out of the way, maybe a gastropub or something like that. And I have a group of friends, colleagues, and we'll go and we'll enjoy a wonderful meal, some great wine or beer, whatever's local. We're always looking for something very, very indigenous to the area. We come home and get as much sleep as we can in the hotel and then get up in the morning, quickly pack our bags, and we're off to the next place.
That sounds like too much fun. Speaking about families, what is it like to leave your family for so long when you go on tour every year?
Leaving family has definitely evolved for me. When my two girls were very young and my wife had, you know, two in diapers, I mean, it was heart-wrenching and I felt so guilty. It was really tough. And then it got maybe a little bit easier, but then maybe they'd see me leaving and they'd come to the airport to see me off and they might start crying. And that was very tough. And now I have one going to college and one in high school. And it's much easier to leave. And my wife doesn't feel this incredible pressure. You know, they can drive themselves around. And so the time without dad is much different now.
And they probably see you as an example of somebody who can go on tour and lead this very exciting life and career. And maybe it's inspiring for them in some way. Speaking of the new hall, it's the first time the orchestra has played at the Elbe Philharmonie, which is strikingly modern. How do you prepare for going into a brand new hall? Do you have to listen in a different way?
When we're on tour, we're changing halls all the time. And some of them could be an old theater or an opera house, kind of like the Academy of Music, which may not have such great acoustics, or maybe a sparkling new concert hall like the Elbe Philharmonie. And so our eyes and ears are constantly peeled. We also have a wonderful advantage in that Yannick conducts in Europe a lot and has for many years guest conducts and also his Rotterdam Philharmonic. And so he knows these halls. And so we'll have a half an hour sound check before the concert and he'll say, listen, in this hall, you know, whatever, lower strings, you need to be more. This stage sucks up the sound of the lower. And, you know, he'll always have some really valuable information, inside information.
Well, that's so interesting. Do you have extensive rehearsals in the halls where you go to perform, or is there just not enough time?
Traditionally on tour, we have the traditional first day full rehearsal. So we arrive, and then the first morning, we have a full rehearsal in that hall, and where we kind of take an overview of our repertoire. But in terms of full rehearsals, we might have two more during the entire tour. And then the rest of the time, we might have the odd sound check from 6 to 6:30 or something in the hall before. But other than that, you just go on stage and act like you know what you're doing.
What's it like to bring Leonard Bernstein's work to Europe and to Israel this year on tour? We are celebrating his centenary. And of course, he's one of the great American composers. Any thoughts on that?
We're fortunate as an orchestra to have the opportunity to program anything we want, Candide and big oratorios and symphonies and all the concerti, some of which are very expensive for an orchestra to produce. But then there's an added layer, and that is to be able to take it on tour. But then to take it to Israel, it's over the top. And that kind of thing leaves many of us shaking our heads in wonder. We just can't believe our good fortune to be playing Bernstein in Israel, 100th anniversary, with the Philadelphia Orchestra. It's just, there's so many layers of wonder.
That's so fabulous. Well, thank you very much, David. Good luck on the rest of the concert and the rest of the tour.
Thank you, Deb. Keep tuning in.